Westside Baptist Church in Newnan, Georgia, brings you our weekly podcast. We hope you will be encouraged by our music and a message from the Word of God as we present our Sunday morning and Sunday evening services and our weekly broadcast by Dr. Melvin Payne. We thank you for listening.
Just a few more days. Amen. Amen.
Good to see all of you at Westside this morning. Good crowd here today, good spirit already. in the service this morning. And I just wanted to say, I was sitting over here looking. Westside Baptist Church has the sharpest dressed drummer in the gospel music industry, don't you think? I was just sitting there in awe of the comment. Now, see, somebody my size and my age couldn't pull off the look, but that boy right there, that's a sharp-dressed fellow. And we've entered prom season, and I thought sure that Caitlin Kane would wear her red dress today, but she didn't do it. If y'all saw the pictures last night, she was beautiful, went to prom last night, and it's going to be going on. And all these girls now, you'll know to wear that dress on Sunday. It'll be okay. And she's like, I'm going to kill him after service. Some of you have seen the post from Maria this morning, but I wanted to read it to you because it is such an answer to prayer. A lot of you, if you don't know, Maria was diagnosed with juvenile diabetes when she was 11 and has been on an insulin pump for most of that time. A1C has never been good. It's always been above 10. It's just never come down. Blood pressure's bad. She stays above 200 on her sugars more than she stays in a normal range. But in all the things that she's been through, she wrote this post this morning. 4 years ago, I was given some pretty scary news that changed my life in so many ways. I spent thousands of dollars on alternative care trying to cleanse and heal my body, but it always resulted in similar results from the medical doctors. Well, I want to tell you about my experience with a different doctor. My God is way bigger and way better than any alternative doctor or medical doctor in the world. To every doctor that said pregnancy was out of the question, to everyone that told me even if I could get pregnant, I would lose the baby, let me tell you how big and how awesome my God is. Michael and I are happy to announce we are 13 weeks pregnant with a healthy and active little sprout. Now, a few weeks ago, Maria and Michael came to church that day with the purpose of her being anointed and prayed over. She's not attending church here regular, but she grew up around here. She's seen us touch heaven on behalf of people in this altar in all types of situations, not just health, but she's seen us pray. She knows what the power of prayer is and what it does. And so she reached out to her mom about having the men pray over her. And when she came in that Sunday, most of you didn't know, she had had some devastating news just a week prior that her kidney function was down to 36%. Stage 3 kidney disease doesn't correct itself on a regular basis. Once you drop to that level, you get down into the 15% range, your dialysis level, and she was dropping, and she was just not getting any better. And so she came with the express purpose of being prayed over because of her kidney situation. And the men prayed over her, and when we left there that day, she said, I don't want to sound weird or anything, but she said, Dave, when they prayed over me, she said, I felt a twinge in my kidney, and I can't even describe it. 6 days later, the doctor told her she was pregnant. Her A1C has run above 10 her whole life. Her A1C is now at 7. Lower than it's ever been. Her blood pressure is perfect. her sugar barely gets above 100, where it's always run above 200 all the time. Whatever situation of life that you face, Maria always wanted to be a mom. She'd been told that it was dangerous. When she was diagnosed with lupus, she was told it would kill her if she couldn't come off the medications, and she couldn't, and so she's been able to drop off all those medications. Whatever situation of life you're facing, I don't care what it is. Could be health, could be financial, could be family, could be anything. We've got a God that's bigger than anything that you'll face in this life. And he tells us just to cast our cares on him, to give it to him, to let him have it. Take our hands off of it and let him show out. He's shown out in our family, and I thank him for it, but I want to see him show out in your family. It blesses and helps me when I see him show out in your family. When I hear how he's blessed you, it helps me. When Bill stood up and testified the other day, it helps me to hear. I didn't go through the struggles he's been through. I haven't faced those struggles, but his answer to prayer helps and blesses and benefits me. And it benefits me when I see God helping you. I want Phil to sing Bow the Knee. When we've gone as far as we know what to do and how to do, bow the knee. Call on the God that's bigger than our problems. Let him show out in your life today, folks.
Just the heart of your father. are tempted to believe God doesn't know. Trust the heart of your Father when the end.
We have been looking on Sunday nights over the last month or so at the fact that the Lord is my shepherd. I'm so glad when I hear how God has answered prayer for Maria. I tell you, that's a blessing. But I'm so glad that I have the access. I have access to the same shepherd that Maria has access to. So I'm glad he's Maria's shepherd, but I'm glad he's my shepherd. The Bible says the Lord is my shepherd. And we can go through if you want, but we won't. I will just take a few minutes. We've been talking about the implements and the items that the shepherd does carry. And we talked about this cloak that he wears, and that inside that cloak there's a beautiful pocket where he puts his little lambs. And when they're injured and they are hurt, and he slips them into that pocket. And in the book of Isaiah, it tells us that he carries that little lamb in his bosom. Isn't that wonderful? Then we also have seen that he has a gourd. And this gourd carries the word, the water rather, and the milk of life. I'm so glad that we can take a drink of the gourd if we want to, Christians, and experience the wonderful milk of the word. But I want to tell you that are here this morning, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, this shepherd carries this gourd, and he puts something in it called everlasting life. And it comes through the water of the Holy Spirit. If you take a good drink of this water that comes from the shepherd's gourd, he tells us in his word that you'll never thirst again. Isn't that wonderful? I tell you what, on the way to church today, I had a ginger ale, and I'm looking at this little bit of water here, and I'm getting a little thirsty, and I may want to take a drink of it before this sermon is over with. See what I mean? But nevertheless, there's this water, this fountain of life that spews from the gourd of our wonderful shepherd. The Bible tells us that if you've taken a drink of this gourd and you've accepted this water of eternal life, that you can call the Lord God my shepherd. I'm glad we can say he's my shepherd, but also want us to understand, as we've been looking, that he's called in John chapter 10 the good shepherd. And then we find a little later on in the New Testament that he's not just the good shepherd, although a good shepherd is good, but he becomes, after the death on the cross, he was no longer just the good shepherd. He was impressive as a good shepherd. He was born of a virgin, the good shepherd. He walked across this nasty earth, and the Bible says that the miracles that he did while he was here, that the books of this world could not contain the miracles of the good shepherd. But there was one miracle that had to take place, and that's the miracle of the death and the burial and the resurrection. And once the resurrection took place, he no longer had just the title of my shepherd or just the title of the good shepherd. But according to the book of Hebrews, he took on the title of the great shepherd. Amen.
Yes, sir.
There's two things I want to give you, and we're going to go to the house. Woo! Number one, the great shepherd has a sling. And this sling, as we've noted in the scripture, was used by the men in the scripture that we also called shepherds. They had these slings, and it would be made of goat's hair, and it would come into a diamond-shaped pouch. But in the bottom of that diamond-shaped pouch, the shepherd, he needed something. He needed the ammunition that was going to go into that pouch. He needed it to sink deep into the pouch so that when he released the ammunition, when he released that stone, it was placed accurately. The Bible talks about 700 in the Old Testament left-handed men with a sling. And they were so accurate with this sling that the Bible says they could hit a target within the width of a human hair. Ladies and gentlemen, that's pretty good, isn't it? Let me say this. God has you in his sling. And he knows just how wide and how long to make that little slit in the bottom of that pouch of that sling. Because he wants you to sit deep in that sling. Because he wants to use us for his cause. And he wants us to be used to the best of our abilities that he has given us. So he cuts that slit and he sits us down into the little slit at the bottom of his sling. And he begins to twirl that sling around and around and around. And ladies and gentlemen, we as God's little stone begin to sink deeper and deeper and deeper into that pocket. And the deeper we get into the pocket, the better use we will be for our Lord's purpose. Here's the problem I find with that pocket. The slit in the bottom of it. Then we're set in the bottom of that pocket as we are spun around faster and faster and faster, if I may say, by the circumstances of this life. We drop deeper and deeper into this pocket and we feel like, as God's children, that any minute now we're going to slip right through that little crack. That God is going to lose us. That he's not in full control of this thing. But I want to tell you, Christians, you're in God's pocket. And he knows just how long to make that slip for you. He knows what it's going to take. He knows how deeply you need to sink into that pocket, into that little slit. He knows what it's going to take to make you effective for him. And I don't know when he's going to choose to release you to be that which he wants you to be as effective as he wants you to be for his cause. I don't know when that is, but I promise you this. He's your shepherd. He's not going to let you loose. He's a good shepherd. He's better than just letting you fly out uncontrollably into this world. He's a great shepherd, and he loves you and wants to use you. No matter what situation or circumstance you're in, Christian, he has got you right where he wants you. Then secondly, the Bible talks about the pavilion. The shepherd's pavilion, in the time of trouble, he, our shepherd, shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. Now, I want to tell you, I like this. I like it because there's the story here of the tent which we can run to as God's children. And he, being our shepherd, will protect us. He'll keep us, if I may say, in his secret place. He'll hide us from what the devil's trying to do to us. I'm telling you, there's a beautiful picture here for the Christian. But I also want you to understand the Middle Eastern custom here that the tent of the shepherd is a safe place to the lost and the dying in sin. I read a story many years ago, and I've shared this story with Westside Baptist Church, I know at least one time. Hundreds of years ago, there was a man that had committed murder, and he was running for his life. He was being chased by a posse, and he knew that if they caught him, they were going to kill him. He had committed the worst crime. He killed someone else, and he was on the run with a posse hot on his heels. He looked down into the valley, and he saw some sheep over here, and he saw a shepherd tent over here. And he took off running just as hard as he could for the shepherd's tent. See, he knew something about the shepherd's tent. He knew, according to the Middle Eastern customs, that if he could just get into the shepherd's tent, and in the middle of the shepherd's tent, there was a post that held up the bulk of the roof of the tent. And he knew, based on the custom, that he could run into the shepherd's tent and grab onto the post that the shepherd was obligated by the custom to protect him and even die for him if that's what it took. This man took off across the valley, got to the shepherd's tent, ran in unannounced without permission, and grabbed onto the post because he knew he could be safe in the shepherd's tent. The shepherd, according to the story, was not at home. The shepherd's wife was at home, and the shepherd had a little boy that was there at home. It wasn't long, this murderer that did hang on to the post so desperately, it wasn't long that the posse that was chasing him rode up on the shepherd's tent. The shepherd's wife exited the tent and said, "What have ye here?" They said, "You have a man that has committed murder, and we demand you send him out so he may meet his maker." The lady walked into the tent. In the tent, there was a veil, if I may say, that went halfway, a curtain that divided the tent. She walked behind that veil, and I guess we could call this a place of mercy. She didn't go in to grab the murderer. She grabbed her little boy by the hand, and she walked him outside. And the posse said, "Where's the man? Where's the murderer?" And she said, "You can't have him, but you can have my son." I want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, one day the Holy Spirit walked down. I have the veil of mercy for you and me, and a death that we should experience for our sin. And here comes the Holy Spirit holding Jesus by the hand and said, "You can't have Alton Midget. You can't have Stephen Brondike. You can't have William. You can't have brother. You can't have sister. You're going to have to take my son." If you're not a born-again Christian today, I want to ask you, understand your condition like this murderer did. He understood that death was knocking on his door. He understood that he had sinned and should be punished. But he understood that if he could just get to the post of the shepherd's tent, he'd be okay. And I want to tell you, if you'll just get to the post of Calvary's tree and grab a hold of that thing and say to the shepherd, I'm a sinner, please save me. Amen. He'll do it today. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let's stand, please. The invitation for the Christian is that God is your shepherd. He's been good to you. He's done great things for you. But there's that family member. There's that friend. There's that co-worker that's lost and undone in the posse of hell is on their heels. And the only thing that might move the heart of God could be the Christian making intercessory prayer for their lost family, friends, or co-workers or neighbors. You might be what it takes to get the attention of God, to work some overtime on the hearts of those lost people that mean so much to you. Then secondly, today, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior today, I want to invite you into the shepherd's tent. I want to invite you to grab onto the posts, to fall at the feet of Jesus there at Calvary's tree. The invitation is open. I'm going to trust the Holy Spirit will do His work for you, the Christian, and for you, the lost man or lost woman or lost boy or lost girl, as we sing.